This is the Quality News Network. In response to a deranged killer shooting rampage at Virginia Tech, Congress passed legislation today meant to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Both the House and Senate unanimously approved the bill, which toughens background checks for gun ownership. President Bush is expected to sign it into law. President Bush did sign new legislation today that requires more fuel-efficient vehicles and increased use of ethanol. The White House calls the new law a major step toward energy independence. On Capitol Hill, Congress passed legislation strengthening the Freedom of Information Act. Penalties have also been enhanced for agencies violating the Act's provisions. A House panel is challenging the White House over the CIA's secret destruction of interrogation videotapes. The House Intelligence Committee is preparing subpoenas to force CIA officials to tell what they know about when and why the tapes were destroyed and who gave the order. A hearing is set for Friday at which the White House will have a chance to convince a judge to keep courts out of their investigation. In Jacksonville, Florida, city fire officials say three people are dead in an explosion today that rocked a chemical plant, the plant manufacturer's Ecotain, a gasoline additive that reduces tailpipe emissions. Funerals are being held throughout Iraq today for the 20 people killed in three suicide bombings yesterday. In southern Pakistan, rescue workers continuing to investigate the wreckage of a passenger train that crashed last night. 56 people were killed. More than 150 were injured. Also in Pakistan, south of Lahore, a truck plowed into a rickshaw carrying children to school this morning. At least 11 children were killed in that accident. The UN adopted a non-binding measure calling for a global moratorium on the death penalty, a resolution opposed by the U.S., China, and Iran. The Vatican also supported the anti-death penalty vote. In spite of numerous warnings over the past 5 years, the U.S. is unprepared for a range of disasters, including biological attacks and a flu pandemic. That's according to a report from a watchdog group. The bird flu circulating in Europe, Asia, and Africa is said to be the most immediate threat. And Russian President Vladimir Putin has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at business news just after this.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A U.S. businessman has purchased a rare copy of the Magna Carta for more than $21 million in order to place the 13th century document into the National Archives. The Magna Carta is widely considered the precursor to the Declaration of Independence and the first notable charter guaranteeing citizens basic freedoms and property rights. The House passed bipartisan legislation to keep millions of middle Americans from being caught in the alternative minimum tax conundrum. The Senate has already approved the measure, and the White House also supports it. Enacted in 1969, the AMT is an aging parallel tax system that could have affected families making just $67,000 a year. U.S. home foreclosures rose 68% last month compared with 1 year ago as homeowners failed to keep up with rising mortgage payments. Morgan Stanley officials disclosed an extra $5.7 billion write-down of mortgage-related assets, taking a fourth-quarter loss to nearly $10 billion. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $91.24 a barrel, gold at $805.40 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 25 points to close at 13,207. NASDAQ up 5 points, the S&P 500 off 2. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 89 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBTQQS version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the listener-supported head-on radio network. That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, questioning, and straight. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Wednesday, December 19th, so if you're listening on a Wednesday evening, December 19th, at about 9.06 p.m. Eastern Time, you're indeed listening to a live show, and you're welcome to phone in and talk to myself and to the guests whom I'll be introducing shortly. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-4, head-on. Translates into 877-443-2366. That's toll-free. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a buck. That's area code 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you're going to find links to all of the guests, as well as to the guests' websites. You'll find links to the audio archives from past shows, as well as to the chat room, which is active as I speak. You'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site, where you can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, of which I'm only a small part. There are links there also for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. This evening's guests, I would have to introduce to you by asking you a question. And that question is, what do John Bon Jovi, Cyndi Lauper, Phoebe Snow, Roger Daltrey, Peter Frampton, Annie Lennox, Carole King, Jackson Browne, Bob Seger, Meatloaf, Naomi Campbell, Aerosmith, Chicago, The Turtles, Third Eye Blind, and Ernest Cole have in common? I don't see very many hands going up, so I'll tell you. What they have in common is Katie Agresta. Katie is, in fact, the vocal coach in the United States. She has been called by CNN a master of her craft. She has written widely and extensively on the subject of vocal training, and she continues to be cited for her expertise and subtlety and her depth. She was born into a family of musicians, and Katie fell in love with music at the age of five as she began taking piano lessons at her parents' music store and was a church soloist in the local community. In fact, if there's anyone in the music industry, Katie Agresta knows him. Now, Katie is joining us this evening with Ernest Cole. We thank Ernest Cole. Ernest has been a guest several times in the show. Ernest is also well-connected in the music business. In fact, Ernest has brought us Stan Harrison. He's brought us Tom Moulton. He's brought us Elliot Sokolov. He's brought us Steve Skinner. And tonight, he brings us Katie. If you haven't heard a show with Ernest, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He has 17 consecutive top 10 smash singles, six of which went to number one on Dance Music Authority. He has received a Best Male Vocalist Award in 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, nominations for Best Song of the Year. He's been dancing and acting professionally since childhood. He's also been in Broadway and in theater, plays things like Cabaret, Carousel, Rocky Horror Picture Show. He was in Warner Brothers, The World, According to Garp, a successful modeling career, GQ, Vogue, etc. So we're delighted to have both these powerhouses in the music business. And Katie and Ernest, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Peter.
Ah, there you are, Ernest. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Ernest. Thank you so much for asking, and thank you for joining us again this evening. Do we have Katie with us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. And the main question, can you hear each other?
Katie, yes. Hey, sweetie.
Hi, Ernest.
How you doing, lovey?
I'm good. Oh. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little tired, but I'm there.
I know. I hear you. Me too.
That tells me that the technical problems are indeed worked out. Katie, you fascinate me. I have to tell both of you at the very beginning of the show, I know for a fact that the both of you have brought at least two Head On Radio Network staff people to tears today. I am one of them. Oh, absolutely. And another individual who is one of our chat moderators and one of our news ninjas who helps us do news research was also brought to tears, and both of us were brought to tears by your duet called The Rose.
Thank you so much.
I must tell you, it's just an amazing track. And Katie, I must tell you, at the beginning, what is it, about a minute 45 in, my first thought was, she is a 21st century Ima Sumac. I mean, it just blew me away. Do you recall the old, it was back in the 50s when she was so huge with the, what, 5-octave range?
Yes, I remember her. I mean, I didn't know her, but I remember hearing about her.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, after I heard the track.
So amazing.
It is. It is amazing. And I lost count of how many times I played it today. In fact, after hearing it a few times, I actually went to YouTube and found some old Ima Sumac music to play, and by God, you know, Ima, eat your heart out. Katie, you are just an amazing woman.
Well, thank you so much. It's so wonderful to hear that. We recorded the song so long ago, right, Ernest?
Well, it was recorded for the Portrait of Ernest Cole, Volume 2. And
yeah.
It's amazing the shelf life that song just keeps growing and growing. And what's so interesting is both Portrait 1 and Portrait 2 and the two maxi singles off of them are now about to be released for digital distribution next month, which is so wonderful.
Well, that is great. Is that going to be released on, what, CD Baby and some of the other sites? Where are those available, Ernest?
iTunes, Amazon. It's like there's 52, download stations. I don't know how to word that correctly. Download sites that you're going to be able to get the CDs from, actually.
Well, Katie, your voice is so amazing to me. Do you perform individually? Because it's exquisite.
Well, actually, lately, no. I haven't been performing. I used to. And the teaching career got so involved and so demanding that the personal performing, I kind of put it on the shelf for a while. And Ernest keeps trying to drag me back out. And it's something that I love to do, but I just lately haven't been doing it. I've been very, very busy teaching, and you know, there's only so many hours in a day. But when I was performing more at the time that I made that recording with Ernest, and then my teaching career just got very involved, and so I intermittently go out and perform, and then I stop for a while, and I perform and stop for a while, because I have a lot of interest, and performing is one of them, certainly, but there's a lot of other things. I've been studying yoga, and I became a Kundalini yoga teacher, and now I'm studying Nam yoga. So I have a lot of interest in a lot of things besides the music, and so sometimes the performing sort of gets put over there, and then I do something else, And Ernest keeps saying to me, no, come on, we have to go. We have to go.
Well, Katie, it's remarkable.
So wonderful. I mean, she's amazing. And I got to be honest with you, the two of us have such a chemistry together. And I just adore her. She is, in honesty, my best friend in the world. Totally and completely. She's a darling.
Ernest and I have been friends for so long.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And when he first came for lessons, one of the things that kept happening is we kept laughing all the time, and we'd have to reschedule the lesson. He would do
sometimes
stuff that was so funny, and
I would get
hysterical, and then we couldn't finish.
Some of our lessons are priceless, Katie. I mean, we have one very special moment in our lessons, and it's what we call our holiday moment, actually. I'm sorry, Peter, that we're doing this too, but you have to realize you're really dealing with two good friends, even though we work together very hard. She works on my music, and anyway, the story goes, it was actually in the middle of July, and it was steamy hot out, but she gives me this exercise that goes, gee, 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 okay? And
okay.
And I wasn't really kind of getting it, and then all of a sudden I went, gee, 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 gee.
Oh, that was the end of that lesson. I just screamed laugh. I couldn't finish. I've been teaching that exercise my whole career. And he was the first one that ever connected it to Jingle Bells, and when he did that, I fell off the piano bench.
Well, Ernest, I want to ask you about her teaching techniques. Now, I'm seeing in her material that
I want to say something real quick. The new CD, Studies CD, is so hard. Darling, this CD, excuse me, every day, help.
Oh, no.
This one is so hard. Sunday night she hands me, she's like, okay, you got to do this every day. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I just think it's like another one of the normal ones, okay? Oh, but we have another story about that, too. I start yesterday, or was it Monday? Monday I started. And I put it in, and I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's just so incredibly difficult, but I am going to master this. I swear to you, I'm going to master it.
Maybe I gave you the one that's the fast one.
It is like...
Is it really fast?
It's incredibly, incredibly hard. It's like,
oh,
whoa.
Maybe I have to give you the other one. Well, you know, this training that I teach... I learned it from my teacher, and I studied with him for 20 years to learn it from when I was a kid. And I've been very privileged to be able to share it with all these people. But I don't know if I've ever had as much fun with all the rest of them as if I've had teaching this to Ernest.
Well, Katie, the technique that I'm seeing here, it's as if you involve almost mysticism, a healing touch technique. How does this work? What I'm reading here, to convert the suffering of injury and pain to a sense of strength and focus, and then putting that into your voice, this is magical thinking to me. I love the idea. Tell us about it. Is it possible to put it into words?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's, you know, singing is so wonderful, and it's very complicated, and yet it can be approached in a very simple way. And when I'm teaching Ernest and all the other, you know, people that I've taught in my life, the first thing that I do is I begin teaching them very physically. I give them physical vocal exercises to do that aren't that different from what a lot of other people teach. Although in this training, there's a lot more use of consonants combined with vowels and musical scale patterns. In many other trainings that I've read about and studied, there's a lot of vowel sounds. But in the kind of training that this is, there's a lot of vowels and scales and things like that you would find in any training. But in this training, there's also a lot of words and consonants, like using gee, hee, hee, and things like that. And so when a person starts, they start with small little scale patterns and little word figures and things like that, and then we start to build from there. But singing has so many layers to it that in my training, what I've always done is I've tried to make myself study the voice from as many different angles as possible. So I do use a touch healing because I'm a fourth degree Reiki master, and I'm a yoga teacher, so I teach people about pranayama and breathing and maybe even meditation if I feel that they need it, to have them stretch, make them exercise. There's a lot of things that we can't even cover in the voice lesson that they have to do on their own. And then nutrition comes into it, and sleeping comes into it, and what are they drinking, and are they taking vitamins, are they, you know, watching their health, watching their sleep. There's a lot of different angles that all come together in the singer. None when you're handling all of the technical aspects and then the nutritional and the exercise part of it, then comes time to do the song, and then they have to learn how to interpret the lyrics and how to convey that to people. So you have to go into their emotions and their thought patterns and their feelings and their phrasing.
Sounds very much like a whole body, a whole human being approach to teaching singing. Ernest, what did you think when you were first exposed to her techniques, and was she your first vocal coach?
No, she was not my first vocal coach at all. I started very young, and I was very lucky because, you know, I started in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, and they were very classical. So, but old-style classical, there was ways of teaching, and I studied with some really intense teachers like Felix Knight, and they, yes, would get you to perform beautifully every night on that stage, but when you would go to do a pop record or something more contemporary, it would not work, and it also arose a lot of problems, like covering, and that took Katie, like, what, 2 years for me to get over doing, Katie?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a technique that's used in other styles of singing, that in opera and Broadway. That
in fact, people, when I first go ahead, Katie, I'm sorry.
So people don't use that in pop singing, really.
Right, exactly.
The covering.
And when I first went to Katie, it was my voice was in major trouble. I was really hurt, and you're gonna probably laugh at what it was hurt from. It was hurt from doing the long period of time I did the Rocky Horror Show.
And that's priceless. I'm sorry to laugh at you, Ernest, but that is priceless. Please
well,
go ahead.
To be honest with you, it's a very physical, there's a lot of screaming that character does. And I will be honest with you, I think if I did the role today, I would do it differently and better, only because I've studied. And I did it more from just performance at that point. I hurt my voice, and there was a lot of damage done to it. You can definitely hear the inflections in my early records, like Come Alive at Night, Potential of We, Cut the Game, definitely in the early Bobby O records, like She Has a Way, you hear all of that affectation, like, she knows what you're looking for, she knows how to make a score, she knows all those things you adore, you know.
Yeah, great talk, yeah.
Yeah, that's very Frankenfurter, though, you know? So I had all that kind of affectation going on. So Katie had this.
Is that the same as covering, Ernest? I'm trying to understand.
It's like kind of like you lift your soft palate up, and say you want to go to hit a high note, but you're not really hitting it cleanly. How do I explain this correctly? I don't want to relearn how to do this, so I don't.
Oh no!
Because you lift your soft palate up and you throw your air up more towards your nose, and it's like you go like that kind of thing, where instead of going open, more like.
I see. It's almost as if the voice is veiled.
Because you know the roof of your mouth in the front where it's hard? And then you go and there's a ridge. If you go back inside the mouth, there's a ridge. And then after that, the roof of the mouth is soft. It's that soft part that goes back up behind the nose that when people are taught to cover, they're taught to use that part and to make it a little tight, and then also use the soft area behind the nose and tighten that. And then when you're singing the note, all that air that comes out has to interact with those muscles that are on the roof of your mouth that are tight. And a certain amount of that is used for what they call belting or Broadway belt. And and in opera, some singers are taught to do that to try to get a cleaner high note. So
definitely
that,
in operetta they
yes, in operetta they use that technique. It's a very old technique. It comes from the bel canto school.
Definitely.
And it's had many names, and then the more current name would be covering. And people have a lot of different names for it. But basically, it's you're using, along with the larynx, which is what makes the sound when you talk and when anybody sings anything, the larynx has to be doing its part. But then some systems say, well, you can use your larynx and you can use all these other muscles too. And then what happens is you start using those muscles too much, and then they get so tight that you kind of get stuck up on the shelf and you can't get back down. And when that happens, the instrument gets out of balance, so that the roof of the mouth gets so tight that then the larynx starts to get tight, and then everything gets tight and it gets stuck. And then the singer, the voice starts wobbling, and it kind of gets out of control. And then when that happens, most singers then they start pushing more to try to get it to stay straight, and that's when they get into trouble. And that's what had happened with Ernest. And
I
so
see.
What you have to do with a singer like that is that you have to start.
And you got to remember, I was doing 8 shows a week.
Yeah, so it gets really enforced, and it's sort of like the image of having a great basketball team and everybody's shoelaces are all tied together.
great analogy.
My job in the beginning is to start untying shoelaces and get all of these individual parts of the voice relaxed and, disentangled so that they're not being pushed around, and then to start to remind the body and remind the singer how to make a sound without all of that stuff. So that they get to remember what it's like not to use the roof of the mouth and back behind the nose, and start using the larynx more, so that if they want to, for the style, they can still go back there and use some of it, but that it's not taking over the whole show. So
well, I must say that what I'm hearing from you is just it all makes so much sense. And I know there's so much music we want to cover tonight, but before we get into the music and running some of the tracks, which are just astounding, and we must get to the Rose. I just won't be able to sleep tonight unless we get to that. But I have to ask you, a couple of questions have come up in chat, and briefly, Katie, have you ever covered an ABBA track? They seem to think you would be a natural for ABBA.
No, I haven't, but I think that's a wonderful idea.
That's a great idea.
And the other question is,
I've got an idea for you, Katie, if you want to do an ABBA track.
A song is born, perhaps. The other tip, and I think I joked about this with Ernest when he first mentioned he might be able to bring you on board with the show. And my first thought was, oh, my God, when she hears my voice, she'll run from the room screaming. And the other hosts that has asked in production, do you have any tips for folks like us who talk 2 or 3 hours a day, not singing, but just talk straight several hours a day, 5 days a week?
Well, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, that exercise that we were joking about before, that he exercise, I do that, and I ask people to get a paper towel or a washcloth or something and pull the tongue while you do it. And when you have to talk a lot, your tongue will get very tight. So if you take a paper towel or a washcloth and you pull the tongue out slightly out of your mouth, and while you're pulling it, you say gee hee hee or anything that might rhyme with that, like gee hee hee or kee hee hee or hee hee hee, what'll happen is it'll start to relax your tongue and it'll relax the muscles of your larynx. And there's a sheet that I have that has, oh God, probably 100 of those little words on it. And
right.
All you have to do is go through the columns and say it, and your voice starts to relax.
But also, and there's another thing, every day you when you sing or you're on tour or you're working on an album, you have to get up and do speaking exercises because you have to warm your voice up to be able to just speak.
Yeah. So when you have to talk for hours, you can actually do little speaking exercises and then wait about an hour and then do your show, and you'll find that your voice won't bother you so much. We can get those exercises to you.
Well, that would be remarkable. I'm lost, though, about one thing. What is the use of the damp cloth? I've somehow lost that when you were explaining
it. The paper towel or the washcloth. You don't have to dampen it. You just take a washcloth or a paper towel.
Oh, don't dampen it.
It'll slip.
No.
And you're going to take hold of, you take hold of the end of your tongue with the flat of your finger. Don't pinch it or it'll hurt. But you take hold of your tongue with the paper towel and you pull it. And while you're pulling it, you try to say, dee, hee, hee. And when you first try to do it, it probably won't come out so good, but that's okay.
I have a feeling I'm going to do a promo for Strictly Confidential using those words.
Hold on, wait a second. Hold on.
Yeah, but Ernest, you're singing. He's going to talk.
I'm pulling my tongue right now. Can
you
tell?
Yeah, go dee hee hee like that. Just pull the end of your tongue up.
Dee hee hee.
Just real softer.
And then you just say that a couple of times. Dee hee hee. Dee hee hee. While you pull the edge of your tongue. Now, what's going to happen is the tongue isn't going to like that very much, and it's going to fight and try to pull back in.
Yes.
So you have to.
I noticed that immediately.
Right. So just relax, relax your tummy. The more you relax your tummy, the easier it is to do. And you just pull. Gee, hee, hee. And then you try to say maybe key, hee, hee. So you pull it up. Key, hee, hee. And eventually what happens is your tongue starts to relax. And then you sound better.
Ernest, I could see where you would get tickled with some of the exercises. There's a lot of fun in there.
No, it's very difficult. I know how to explain it to you. You know how you weight train or you do anything when you do any physical type of training where you're going to use a muscle in your body?
Sure.
Okay. Well, the voice is a muscle. So you've got to train that the same way. You do your warm-up, you do your matrixing, your exercises, and you do your performance, and then you've got to warm down. And that's probably one of the most important of the whole program is the warming down.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Most people don't tell people to warm down, and I think that's a big mistake. Because everybody else that uses muscles for sports, they warm up and they warm down. Dancers and skaters and football players and singing is so athletic and physical, and you're using muscles, so you should warm up for that and warm down for that as well, I think.
Well, Katie, one last question before we get into the music, and it's one that I cannot resist. How do you approach someone like an Annie Lennox who comes to you for vocal coaching? I just would be horrified. I mean, I would have no idea what to tell. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened with Annie. When Annie came to me...
Oh, we have got a story about Annie.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, we have a couple. When Annie came to me, she was already very famous and successful. And she was so famous and so successful that she was exhausted. And her voice was failing her because she was using it so much. And she had tried many different teachers, but they had given her some really good stuff, but it wasn't complete, and there were things missing, like the warming down, you know? and the exercising and everything. And so when she called me, I kind of went into shock because I answered the phone and there she was on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, and, there's a shock factor.
Yeah, I was shocked. Because I wasn't used to talking to very famous people. And so when she called, "Hello, this is Annie," and I was like, "Oh." It was funny, and I realized that, well, you know, she's a person too, and she might be famous and very talented, but she's a singer, and her voice isn't working, and she needs somebody to help her, and I've got to raise myself up so that I can serve her and find out what's wrong and fix it. So when she came in the door, she was a wonderful, she was one of the first people that came to me that was already famous, very, very famous. Some of the people that I worked with were on their way to becoming famous, so I knew them before. So she was the first one that came in that was really, really super famous. And I thought, well, you know, she's super famous, but she's a person. And so I approached it that way. And, you know, I have this information, and she needs it. So I have to make sure that I talk to her in a way that she can hear what I have to say, and give her the information and find out why she's having this difficulty. She hadn't been on the road in a while because she was so tired. And so I started to approach her like she was anybody else that would come in. When she was in the room taking a lesson, I just treated her like I would anybody else. And she's a wonderful, lovely, beautiful human being, and so smart and so elegant.
Indeed.
And we had a lot of fun. And so she would, you know, come in and take her lessons. She took notes, and she learned a lot of stuff. And one of the main things with her was that she was so tired. Because when you suddenly, you know, find yourself trying to have a career, and she has said this, you know, suddenly those doors opened up. She was knocking on those doors to get a career happening, and the doors opened up and they never closed back up again. And the constant thing, the demand that can become was a lot for her. And so I trained her voice. I got her to get her muscles, you know, disentangled. We were working on her breathing and all the normal things that people do when they come for lessons. And I think the biggest favor I did her was talk her into taking a vacation, because she was just working so much. And I said, you know, nobody's going to miss you for a couple of weeks. It's okay if you go away. It's really not that much time. And she did that, and that really helped her a lot.
Okay, I would like to just interject right here.
Yeah.
Katie made, this is back in the days of cassettes. Katie made Annie a set of cassettes. And at the same time, she was making me a set of cassettes to warm up and warm down to.
All right.
And practice to every day. Okay. Well, because we were both, you know, studying at the exact same time. In fact, our lessons for, I guess, maybe 2 years were right after each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were consistently seeing each other. So Katie gives us both our tape. So I come home and I'm rehearsing with my tape again. And I am having the darndest time. And it's like even harder than this. I mean, I couldn't even hit the note. It was like something I was like way out of my range. And I'm calling Katie. I'm going, Katie, I can't do this. I really can't. I don't know what you're trying to make me try to do. I can't. Katie just kept going, just keep doing this. Keep practicing. You'll master it. Okay? Well, yeah, I did. But you know what? Katie switched the tape. She gave me Annie's tape, and Annie got my tape.
That's priceless. So how did
that
Annie react?
Notice a couple of my records, I'm a little higher.
Oh, that's... Katie, shame on you.
I know.
Like a little lower.
I couldn't understand why he was having so much trouble. I thought, how is he doing it, Ernest?
He didn't get it until I had to do it in front of her. And when I went to my lesson, it was all easy, and I was like, this is easy. And Katie's like, so what's the problem? And I'm like...
And then he played the tape for me, right? You played it for me?
Right, and you were like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that's Annie's tape.
I couldn't understand why
I was making her work so low. I was just so cuckoo.
That's a great story. Oh, my.
But it's the reality, and it did reflect in both records. I mean, because both of us had very successful records at the time, and it's challenging. It's just been a wonderful... One thing I can say about Katie is you asked me about if she was my first voice teacher, but what I can say is she's the one voice teacher that became the founder of my voice, that I actually could communicate with and centered my voice and made it a professional voice, a working voice. It's all about communication. It's all about making it happen, getting the final fruition out of what you go for. And it's so workable with Katie. It's like working with a doctor that you can understand and be with. It's a total lifestyle. Every new album is a challenge. Like, this album is probably the hardest one ever. It's because we lost Brian. Brian was Katie's best friend as well.
I'm
sorry to bring this up again. He was my husband. I lost him to a massive heart attack. We were together 14 and a half years. Katie was here 20 minutes after he died from Long Island.
Bless your heart, Katie.
Well, you know, Brian and I, we had a very special relationship. Brian used to work for the airlines, and he would announce the weather. So Brian would call me up all the time and announce the weather on my phone and leave me messages.
Oh, yes, in his very early days before he was in the music industry.
I know, very long time. And so he and I had this very comical relationship because, of course, he was never a student or anything. And we'd get on the phone and just say words to each other and get hysterical. And Ernest would never really know what we were laughing about. And neither would we, really.
It was such a trio, though, as friends. And
he was a special guy, and
I can't explain it to you, Peter. It's three people, and there's also our other best friend Matt, who was always... It's just like a whole family of people. It's beautiful people. It's been a musical family. I mean, like, Steve Skinner is a part of it. Everybody's... I'm just so glad that everybody is still together and working on this project. And I said something the other night to Katie. I said, could it be because I'm having such challenges right now because I'm suffering from a broken heart? And she just turned right around and went, yes. That's it.
I
know it had to be hard for both.
Everybody knows what it's like to have a broken heart, I'm sure. And it's, you know, I said to Ernest, it's what you do with that and how you experience it, because it's certainly as part of being human, and we all have been there. And, you know, for you to be able, Ernest, to turn this into your music is the best thing that you could do with it. And then share it with the other people. And that's what the Rose is all about.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was heading. When in the history of this did the Rose occur? Because the Rose is a heart... It just touched my heart. When did that happen? When did you do that?
Well, I don't remember exactly when it was. Ernest would know that better. But Ernest asked me if I would come in and sing The Rose as a dance single. And I looked at him like, what? And I was like, well, why? And he goes, no, I think it would be wonderful. And I'd always loved that song. And I loved Bette Midler. And I don't know her personally, but I've always been a huge fan of hers. And he talked me into it. I was sort of like, well, yeah, okay, because I'm always so busy doing so many things. And I said, okay. So we went in and I decided, okay, I'm going to try this. I'd never done a dance single before. I had lots of training to do other styles of singing.
Oh, hold on. No, let's fix it.
What?
You actually made an appearance on Follow Your Heart, which was the number one record.
Oh, yes, that's right. I did.
The opera.
I forgot.
You were the
Ernest
first
remembers these things more than me. I forget because I just do.
And then there's a record that actually they're talking about remixing that never got released called Mouth to Mouth. That Katie did Affection. And let's just call it Affection.
Oh, my orgasmic breathing?
Oh, no, this is a track we need to get out in the public.
Oh, yeah. He asked me to do that.
You've got to understand, I'm in a studio with two straight men, and one of them has to leave the room.
That was a long time ago, Ernest asked me to come in, and could I do that for his record? I went, yeah, I think I could. So just turn out the lights, and let me see what I can do, and I think I embarrassed everybody.
So fantastic in one take.
Yeah, well, you know,
and then that gasp at the end. Oh,
I know. Well, they were all embarrassed. I turned around. They were all. Nobody would look at me in the eyes, you know. So I thought, well, either I really did this badly, or I don't know what just happened. But I turned to Ernest. I go, was that okay? And he goes, yeah, that was fine.
Well, Ernest, your voice, Ernest, during the roses is stunning, and it's excellent in every way. I have to ask you, Ernest. Did the vocalization that Katie does about a minute 45 in, was that a surprise to you? Did you know she was going to do that? It's fabulous.
Yes, because what happened is I made Katie lay her vocal first.
Yeah, I did the whole song. He had me do the whole song so that he could go in afterwards and do what he wanted to do with it.
And we also had really special backups. How do I explain this? Other protege, is protege the right word? Then me and Cindy was Jerry, and he sang on the record as backup because Jerry's one of my lead backing boys and helped arrange with
Matt.
Yeah,
Jerry.
And with Daryl, who passed away, who they were all on to save the love sooner or later, you know, the whole story. And we're very lucky to have Jerry back in the family. It's just very ironic how I ran into him and he's back with us. And Matt's back, and the loss of Daryl we can never get over, but it's very lucky that we have Lance Horn on the project. Anyways, I made Katie do her vocal first, and the other vocalist was Phoebe Snow doing backup.
Oh, that we did that on a prior show. Now, that was really a fabulous track. In fact, I think our friend Billy Shears locked onto that, too.
Well, yeah, right. Ernest and Steve Skinner, they worked very hard to create those tracks. And, Ernest is amazing in the studio. He has such great ears, and he hears things. No, put these bells over here, and put this thing over there, and put these drums over here, and all that. And I love watching and listening to him when he's doing all of that, you know, because that's definitely not what I do, you know. And then
I understand.
Beautiful tracks, and he said, well, go ahead, go sing. And so, you know, I sang, and then they took that, and then Ernest did his part of the singing, and it was wonderful. I was singing the song was wonderful because that is an amazing song.
There also was another reason why. I needed her to step out of character because a lot of times I had to have her do what I do. I have to divorce myself from being, okay, the producer at a moment or the songwriter at a moment or the singer at a moment, and I have to take on the other role, whatever role I'm playing at the moment. So
yes.
I had to have her come out of being the artist and direct me as my vocal coach because a lot of the time Katie is always right there or she prepares me to be there on each piece. She makes it directly with me. And I needed her, because if I was going to sing against her, it had to be correct. And I had to take liberties. We had to make it our own piece. So I had to take more liberties with it than the Bette Midler version. So I needed Katie there as a director. So that really was kind of my way of thinking. And I think
I see.
Got what we were going for.
Well, it is an amazing track, yes.
I've always loved it. I love the track. I love the song, and the song's always meant so much to so many people, and myself included.
Go ahead, Katie. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, and that's what we wanted to make sure when we were singing it, that we were aware of that, because it's a song that's so well known and so loved by so many people, and I felt that if I was going to sing it, then I would have to go deep into what it meant for me, so that it would resonate that way with people who hear it. Like you said, some of the people cried. And I think that that's, you know, I mean, not that we want to go making a lot of people cry, but that's
really bringing back. Brian started crying when he heard our playback. Do you remember?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just feel that when you sing well, if you go deep within yourself and find things in yourself that you can relate to in the song and allow yourself to feel that when you're singing, that often translates into people don't know exactly what I'm thinking when I'm singing or feeling, but they can feel that I'm feeling stuff, and then you pick up on it, and then you start feeling your feelings. And I think that's what singing is all about. That I had a coach say to me when I was studying that performing a song is like introducing the listener to their own intimacy with themselves, so that when I go deep in what it means to me, you know, underneath the snow, there's that life that's going to come again, and that rose and the beauty of that flower, and that flower symbolizes so much for so many people, and that, you know, you go through all of these trials and tribulations, but underneath there's that love that is reborn every spring, and it comes back to us. And even though you're going through trouble and hard times, there's always that rainbow that can come again, and that flower that's living there under the snow, even though you can't see it.
I'm getting misty.
Yeah, and it's just such a beautiful, so beautifully written that I'm really glad that people are liking it, because
is still kind of unexpected, because I didn't know the record company was going to re-release it in any fashion, and coming right now in my point of history, kind of interesting and kind of bittersweet, because we lost Brian.
And well, we didn't lose him completely. He's still there. We just can't see him.
He's in the music, Kate.
Yeah. You know, they say when that person's in your heart, they never leave.
You know, Peter, maybe right now would be a really good time to play the song if you would.
I would love to. I would love to run the track. I think that amongst the Head On Radio Network people, you know, several of us have heard the track today, but of course the listeners have not, and I think that they really deserve to hear it, because
both of us, because we did this, but we didn't know how meaningful it was going to. We wanted it to be this good, but we didn't know, and we tried. And the fact that people are loving it, we're so happy.
It's so unexpected.
It is wonderful.
But, you know, you hope for things, but when you hear people are crying when they listen to it, that blows me away.
Well, it's absolutely true. In fact, I cried through the first three playings of it, and then I gave up counting.
Oh, no!
Sorry, I'm just an old softie. But
that's,
I'm telling
wonderful.
You.
Wonderful.
No, when I got that email, I was so in shock. I was like, wow. It's like, wow, and I think I sent you back, like, something, thank you so much, like, thank you, I felt like Sally Field or something.
Yes, I
thank
dropped
you for liking me.
I dropped Ernest a note telling him today that it was absolutely fabulous. The first time I had a chance to listen to it was today. And we're about to run that track, and I want to point out, we're posting this in the chat room. For those of you who are listening and are not in our chat room, to get to Katie's website, it's www.katieagresta.com, and that's spelled K-A-T-I-E-A-G-R-E-S-T-A ErnestCole.com. And if you'd like to stop by Ernest's site, he is www.ErnestCole.com, and that's ErnestKohl.com. And I encourage you to go by there. There's a lot.
And don't forget MySpace, which is really much more current. MySpace.com/ErnestCole.
That's right. Next.
We keep that updated almost every day.
Yeah. In fact, I think we recently befriended each other after the fact on MySpace somehow or another. That's an interesting. Are you
was
a part
it
of MySpace?
Or was it? No, wait. We had a proper introduction, actually. It was somebody. Glenn.
Glenn. Yes, Glenn Rivero. Yes, we were formally
introduced.
As they would say down south, we were formally introduced.
Glenn, who I'm waiting to still do a mix on me. Hello, Glenn. I love Glenn. No, I really
do.
I'm dying for my restructured mix. I know I'm a diva.
Well, I'm sure Glenn's listening. He's going to catch 3 points.
Okay.
And kids, we're going to run that for you. It's The Rose, and this is the duet with Katie Agresta, and it's Ernest Cole, Katie Agresta, The Rose. You're going to love it. We'll be right back. Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. The chat room is referring to it as being brilliant. I'm referring to it as being stunned and amazed. And by the way, Katie, the chat room has picked out the ABBA track that we want you to do it. We want you to do The Winner Takes It All. We think that you're perfect for that.
Oh, Ernest, wow. That's a great idea.
Ernest, that track is just amazing to me. In as much as...
I'm really kind of back.
I understand, and I've got to tell you the end. You know, so many times the song, but the way you know the duet in the last chapter or the last segment that you're actually singing is just so beautifully put together.
It's so wonderful
I'm
to hear it again. I haven't heard it since we did it.
I've been so involved in the new music, Katie. I haven't really listened, and which is bad to the song.
Wow, it just took me back to that whole experience that we had.
Yeah, crying.
That was amazing.
Sorry.
That's all right, Ernest. We understand. And it's an absolutely delightful track. It's energetic, yet it's very, very, how can I put it? It's not frivolous.
It's a song of substance, which that was a really great thing. Amanda McBroom wrote a really great song, and the fact that she approved us doing it was great. I was really honored when that happened. And I really also have to thank Tom and Steve. Tom really did a wonderful mix on that song.
Ah, that was Tom Bolton.
Yeah.
That explains why there's no cowbell.
Remember, he was referring, we talked about, and his Oprah's interview, him adding a part, and I didn't understand the, why he was doing it. And I sort of just
gave it over
to him and during the mix session. Put those two together really fast, say five times. And that's a kind of interesting guitar answer. And when they all came together, it worked. And I said, I was hearing like country western happening, and I was like, oh dear God. But I was hearing it soloed. And when you hear an instrument soloed, it's very different than when it is within the track.
Ah, I see.
You know, I love how Ernest Wood and Steve and Tom Bolton, the way they got the choir of voices, you know, whenever all the voices are singing together on certain parts of the song. I really thought that was so wonderful, the way that all the voices came in.
Well, that's an honor, my God, to hear Katie Agress to say that.
Well, you know, people that create tracks like you do, Ernest, and it's a constant amazement to me, because when we would talk about those tracks as we were doing it, he would sit there and go, well, this has to be this, and this track should have this in it, and no, make the beat like this. And I don't, where are you getting all this stuff from? And he would
I'm the same way, Katie. I can't hear it in my head until I hear it, and these people just amaze me. They really do.
I know.
I hope I wasn't coming off condescending.
No, not at all. I mean, because I also write music, too, and I hear stuff in my head, but I don't always know, I know what I want it to sound like, but I don't always know how to get it to be that way. But Ernest does know that, and it's such a gift.
It's such a wonderful gift.
It was such a wonderful track to sing to.
Thank you so much. I think that's one of the things that's just kind of making me just do this new album this way. I just sort of do it naturally. It's not something, it's a God-given gift, even though I've studied. That production, production for me comes naturally, where singing is something I have to study. Dance I have to study, acting I have to study, or at least I think I do. I don't know where I got that in my head, but just like you have to train. You have to be trained into whatever you're doing.
Well, I think obviously, as a teacher, I'm a big believer in training.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all have gifts.
I'm sorry.
We all have gifts that were given. Every single one of us has gifts. I mean, just being here is a gift. You know, breathing is a gift. But
like your line, Katie, we're only given so many breaths.
What?
Your line. Me,
oh, the breath. Oh, well, they teach in yoga that the ancient mystics teach that, you know, you're given a certain amount of breaths in this lifetime, and then when they're finished, you're done. And I don't know exactly who the people are who said that, but I was talking about the idea of just being on the planet, having breath. Is, you know, and as a singer, we focus so much on breathing, and that's part of the singing and everything, and it's just a wonderful gift to be able to even do this at all. And then when you get a chance to do it in a circumstance like that, when he created the track and he said, okay, here's the track, sing. It was such a wonderful track to sing to, because you're singing and all that music is all around you, and I felt in the recording booth that I was surrounded by all that sound. It made it so much easier to just sing whatever it was that I was going to sing.
I hope I create a safe environment in the studio.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of fun. I think the recording studio has to be fun. I mean, sometimes you're doing very serious work,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
it's very involved. It's very challenging. Third time. I can remember a really strong situation. I can refer to two songs. I remember To Save the Love, and you coming to the session, and I'm getting notes from Daryl, getting, you know, he's being one of the writers, and getting notes from Steve, and the fact that I had done it as a demo originally, and then had to to re-record it. That's always been a weird sort of process after you've done it one way and then you make it a record. But you were there in the studio and everybody was giving me notes and I was getting more and more frustrated as the session was going on, and you finally just said, okay, just let him sing the song.
that sounds great.
She just said, let him sing it. And we got it on that one take. And
so it was fabulous. Whose idea was it to put the sound of the wind, as the song fades down, there's the sound of the wind? Whose idea was that? I think it's genius.
I'm sorry, me.
Well, listening to it as an old ex-DJ, that it immediately brought to mind the track Stormy Weather. So if I were playing at a dance floor right now, I would go from The Rose to Stormy Weather as the next.
Oh, that's sweet.
That would be a great segue.
Yeah, because they both have that same wind sound, and they're both about the same, you know, they're both that kind of song, you know what I'm saying?
Songs of Substance.
Songs really of strong. Weather?
Like to say the love is a very strong song of substance. You know, and the fact that, how do I explain it? When Katie said that line about, and she was strong enough to say that and to say it to Steve, say it to Darryl, and to stop a whole recording session, she had already prepared me enough, and by her saying that gave me enough confidence to just do it. And I did it.
Well, it's remarable. Ernest, you've mentioned To Save the Love a couple of times. Now, this we have a mix of that, and it's the Neil Christian Anthem Club mix. I don't think we've heard that before.
Yeah, a really interesting thing about that mix is Ryan had contacted Neil because he was really, really watching him because of his work with NSYNC, and he had just started to work with Beyonce, and was developing Beyonce at the time after she was being pulled out as a solo artist from Destiny's Child, and actually put the whole thing into motion like 3 weeks before he died. And I think I told you the story that I would do Only You if I could redo To Save the Love. That was kind of a trade-off that Brian and I made, and Brian's decisions were completely correct. He was just amazing, and it's all come to play. It's all coming to fruition in such a beautiful way. And I'm so thankful. And Neil's mix, I had to go out there and go into the studio with Neil and sit there with him, and we created this together.
Awesome. Katie, are you involved in this track we're about to run?
She was there during the original vocal session.
Oh, really?
Well,
you sing?
A lot of Ernest's songs I'm not actually singing, you know, just on those couple that he mentioned, but I'm always involved one way or another. I'll get phone calls from the studio if I'm here teaching and Ernest is going through something, and he'll call, I'm in the studio and you have to help me.
Oh, God,
you know?
Like the one where we changed the key of All I Know and I'm in the studio and we've already prepared 3 weeks with it, and I'm in the studio and we decide to change the key, and they're calling from England in the middle of the night changing the key. I did it in one take.
He's been,
and I never got to hear it back. I never got to hear my playback until it was finally mixed of All I Know, and it turned out to be a number one hit. That it was just amazing, the fact that that's what this kind of training gives you. You can fall back on your craft.
Well, the relationship that Ernest and I have had has been really, it's amazing because there's so many dimensions to it. But one of the dimensions is that it's limited, because I never know when he calls me, there's going to be something going on in a new song. And sometimes I haven't even heard the song. He'll come over and he needs to know, you know, like if he has the words, how to phrase it, or what key do I think it should be in, or you know, is this key? Can he'll sing it for me? And
the bawling,
you know, is this too high? Is this too low? Or all the different things that a lot of times you take those things for granted, but you have to kind of, each song has to have its own little place that it lives. It has to be in the right key for that singer and those tracks. And
I think that's one of the things about this album. Every song is so eclectic that it's very much a challenge. Some songs are very belty. Some songs are breathy. Some songs are a whole new Ernest Cole voice that you've never even heard yet. It's great. It's a whole new sound that's coming, going to be coming to you this coming year.
Well, that's another thing. When you sing for that many years, you keep evolving, and the audience evolves, and your body evolves, and the song choices evolve, and everything keeps changing all the time, and you have to keep changing with it.
And
so
studying.
I want to tell you that one of our listeners in the chat room, not a staffer, but one of our listeners to the network, has asked me to tell you to thank you for the song that we just ran, and that it touched her heart very much, and that she is still crying. I got to tell you that.
Thank you so much. You don't know how much that really means, because when you don't know if it's going to happen, and then it comes back and it's like almost like a surprise Christmas present. This record.
You know, it's funny because when I was originally trained to sing opera, and my coach and my teacher and all that would prepare me, and then I'd go over to Italy and I'd sing. And I don't know why this is, but this people crying when I'm singing has gone on all my life. And I'd sing and everybody would cry, and the whole audience would be crying, and I'd be standing there going, what's going on? It scared me. It would frighten me. And I'd go, well, I'm trying to sing and everybody's crying. And they're That's really awesome. Moved, or I'm really bad, and they're really in pain. And it would scare me, and I had to get used to it, because, you know, sometimes you just make a sound a certain way, and it just goes right into somebody's heart, and you don't even know. I mean, I wouldn't even know I was doing that. I'm just trying to do what I'm doing, and then look up and see people doing that and go, oh, God, I hope they're okay. It moves me to hear that people are getting moved, you know, because that's I think a beautiful thing that singing is for people. It can take them places that the singer doesn't necessarily know when they're singing that's the effect they're going to have on somebody.
I can be honest. We want that. That's a destined goal, but we don't always know it. And if you know it, I think you are
that.
In trouble.
Well, yeah, the whole idea is to express a story and tell the emotion and make the sound that, you know, expresses the feeling and all of that, and hope that it
and
lands
it,
out there that people can receive it, and it takes them on some kind of a journey. And
I think
when it takes them so deep into their heart that they cry, that's an amazing thing.
I think that's what happened with To Save the Love. We had these expectations, but we never expected it to go, the original one, to go number one for 8 weeks and, you know, win Best Record of the Year, and then the remix to go number one twice, and now it's come back out again, and it's blowing my mind. It's a little bit overwhelming, indeed.
I know. I'm amazed that I'm going to have to go to the piano and start vocalizing again. Make sure I can hit all those notes. Oh, my God.
At least we're okay. Now, Peter, I think we're almost convincing her to come back.
Well, I hope we do. I hope we do convince her to come back.
Because
one of our chatters is... Go ahead, Ernest. Go ahead.
Well, you know, one of my next projects is a duet album, and I'm featuring Katie on that, and I feel really strongly about Katie. I can't say strongly enough how much I feel about her voice and how much I feel about her, and she's my core.
Well, Katie, our friend Billy Shears is asking in chat, for me to tell you that he really has enjoyed your voice and wants to know, of all of the great voices that you've heard, live or recorded, who do you think has the best voice you've heard?
Oh, wow. How do you answer that?
That's hard,
so
is it?
Many wonderful singers. But I will tell you this. I'd have to make a very long list because I love singing and I love people's voices. And, you know, currently, right now, Josh Groban and Andrea Bocelli and those kind of voices. And but I'm very extreme. I also love Joe Cocker because I love the way they communicate. But, you know, I don't love that voice because it's beautiful. I love that voice because it communicates really powerfully. And women's voices, oh, God. The thing that got me started, which he might find amusing, is that when I was a child, I was 10 years old, and I was listening, I guess, to the radio, and I heard Johnny Mathis singing. And when I heard his voice, I fell in love with singing by listening to him. And I was 10, so I decided that I would be marrying him. And
bless your heart, Katie, that's priceless.
And because I was going to marry him, that I would really need to have singing lessons because I was trying to sing along with the songs and I couldn't sing all the notes. So I was going to need singing lessons so that when I married him, I'd be able to sing along too. And so...
well,
I started,
Billy Shears says he loves your answer. He loves Johnny Mathis.
I started bothering my parents, and I got one of the albums had a beautiful picture of him, and I put it up on the mantle in our living room. And my parents were like, "Oh, we're going to have a lot of trouble with this child." So he thinks he's marrying this man, and so when I would go babysit, I would because. I started babysitting as a little child, and I would bring all my Johnny Mathis records, and I would sing all night long. And I actually, I guess he was, without realizing it, my first singing teacher. And to this day, when I hear him sing, it touches my heart in a way that nobody else could possibly, you know. But I've heard so many wonderful singers, and I've been able to even teach a lot of the glorious singers, you know, that are singing today in the pop world. And even now, I'm working a lot with the Broadway show The Jersey Boys, and I trained John Lloyd Young, who won the Tony Award, and Christian Hoff, who also won the Tony Award for Jersey Boys. So I've had the amazing experience.
We have another story like that, like with Bob and me both doing This Is the Moment and Jekyll and Hyde at the same time.
Yes, and you know, so I mean, I don't know who I would choose, because there's so many wonderful voices, you
know. I'm so honored that you, to be honest with me, with you, I'm just so honored that you chose me to work with. I love you.
I would have, you know, Ernest, I could feel that. I really get it. Honest to God, she's a treasure.
Well, you know, Ernest and I are sort of like, we in another life, we were brother and sister or something. From the moment we met, we've had this relationship that, I just consider him part of my family. In fact, he's often on holidays, that even on this Christmas, he'll be coming with me to my family's house.
Yeah,
and
we're spending Christmas together.
Yeah, we hit it off with that Gee Hee Hee Jingle Bells version of Gee Hee Hee. We've been really close ever since. And, but I, you know, tell your listener that I would really love to be able to answer him, but there's so many wonderful singers, and you know, actually, some of them are even people that I've taught, like Cyndi Lauper. You know, and I'm trying to think of other females. And I also listen to so many different kinds of singers. I listen to opera singers, and I listen to folk singers, and I listen to chanting, Eastern chanting music, you know. So tell them I wish I could answer that.
Well, the questions keep coming in. Another one for you, Katie, is: do you know Eva and Kenny? Let's see, the Eva Cassidy and Kenny Rankin.
Oh, Kenny
wondering
Rankin.
If you've heard.
I know. I love Kenny Rankin. Eva Cassidy, I'm not familiar with her. But Kenny Rankin is one of my favorites, absolutely. Yeah.
And the last one for you, Katie, is that when you do watch a live performance, do you find that it's difficult to not focus on the technique or the singer? Or are you able to relax
no,
and enjoy the music?
No,
or...
I can answer this question. No.
I'll tell you what I do. I have a way that I turn the voice teacher off.
No.
And I've done that all along. I will listen in a different way as part of the audience.
Wait 3 days later.
Yeah, I really do, because when I go to hear people sing, I love to hear people sing like the rest of the audience does, unless they're doing something that's so out or so awful that it would catch my attention. I don't really listen as a voice teacher, but if somebody says to me, what do you think of that singer, or would you listen to them so that we could help the singer or train them or bring them in the studio, then I turn a whole other part of my listening on.
Oh,
and I listen then
one,
as...
But, like, when you come to one of my concerts, it's interesting.
Well,
the way
Ernest,
you
with
notes.
You, it's different because when I come, when you can manage to drag me out of my house, which is not that easy to do, but when
what?
I go to hear you, it's always a split of, I've worked with you for so long that it's harder when I'm closer to it to turn it off, you know, but I love
well,
being
I
able
you're
to not...
Well, I think you're more surprised that the intensity of the show being so aerobic and how I translated what we've done vocally into the dancing and the whole performance.
Well, yeah, and watching somebody like you where you're dancing and you're running around and you're singing and you're performing and all that, you know, I often, when it's earnest, I really do focus as a voice teacher. But I love being able to go out and not do that. That's fun for me, you know. And then sometimes people say, well, what did you think of that note? I go, I didn't notice it, you know, because I really can shut that off when I want to. And I think it's important also because, you know, not everybody wants, because sometimes when people know that I'm in the audience, they start getting nervous.
I think that's a compliment.
I will concur with that line.
I know. Sometimes what I like to do is, like when people I'm training, I like to go see them, and I don't tell them I'm coming so that I can sneak in the back door and listen before they know I'm there, which is kind of fun because I get to see, you know, what they're singing like when they're not so aware of my presence. Because when I'm working with someone, you know, then they're aware that I'm listening the way I listen when I'm training them. And but I think it's really fun. I like to let go and just
it's like
let
having your professor
get taken away by someone
watching you.
What? I'm sorry, what, Ernest?
It's like you're having your professor watching you.
Well, yeah, it's just pressure. You know, it can be, you know.
And
well, you're both your reputations are on the line.
Your next lesson, and it's intense, but you're only getting better. It's only for the better, so it's not like anything negative. It's a
well, I know, but it can be like unnerving.
It's a stressful situation indeed.
You know.
That should not be brought on to a stage. When you hit the stage, you're there to perform, and you've got to rely on your craft, and that's what we prepare for.
I truly would love to hear you guys do something else.
Yeah.
Like this record, like To Save the Love. Indeed. She prepared me for it.
Well, I think we ought to run that next. As I mentioned, it's the Neil Christian Anthem Club mix. And when did this particular mix and this particular version come out?
This is done on the 207 remix, and I actually went into the. I had to go out to his studio in Jersey and sit there with him and get it the way we wanted it correct. And I think he did an awesome job.
Okay, I agree. I was just distracted for a moment. I was reading one of the chat comments and I'll give that to you in a moment. Yes, I think I would love to hear the track, too. I've not heard this particular remix, and it's a wonderful song. This is Ernest Cole. The track is called To Save the Love, and it's the Neil Christian Anthem Club Mix.
¶¶
Ernest, that that is an incredibly high energy version of To Save the Love. You've got to tell us something about more about Neil Christian and how this came to be.
Neil Christian came to be because of Brian. Brian discovered Neil Christian, he was working. He pulled Beyonce out, and he was doing a remix on probably, I think it was probably one of the last Final Instinct records, the Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah.
I think that was it. And I did not know Neil at the time, and he introduced me to him, and it was really interesting how Neil and I hit it off in the studio. Neil was very attentive. He listened to me. In fact, Katie, interestingly enough, he wanted me to cover a Josh Groban song. I believe the song was called I Believe. You know the song?
Yeah. I can't place it, Ernest. I'm sorry.
And I actually went... I had done To Save Love so many times as a producer, I had to let go. And it was the one time in the whole project I actually went into the studio outside of the Evan Coden version of the mix that I was so hands-on with. With Evans, I totally was more of a producer of the record, executive producer, or totally a mixer. And he was kind of just following my lead. Neil and I worked together. And it was very interesting how brilliant he is and what he has pulled out of artists like Beyonce, like myself, NSYNC, a pop boy group that crossed over dance.
Well, it's just amazing to be at the... it's to me, it's like, you know, a high-energy club with all the strobes going and the lasers running and just, well, you know, kick-ass...
What's interesting about this mix is that it's very symphonic, but it's also very circuity, and it's also got a little bit of a tribal undertone.
Well, that's an interesting.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. At the end, I could almost hear like a heartbeat.
And
that is amazing.
It's very bittersweet again that the song is dedicated to Bri. The heartbeat. Again, that driving thing that I keep going. I want that heartbeat to be started.
That's very interesting.
I think that's kind of like the reason why I did like Live Like You Were Dying. Brian lived his life like Live Like You Were Dying. And that was my first song going back in front of the mic. And you know how hard that was for me, Katie.
That was so hard.
And the fact that it's so successful and it's been nominated for Best Dance Track of the Year, we're all blown away. We weren't expecting that one. I didn't even know. I swear to you on this one. I will swear on
On that one, you were just trying to get yourself back up in the saddle, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was so sudden, you know, and again, it's like what we were talking about earlier. So many people can relate to these things right now. People are really going through a lot of stuff, and to hear music like this is so elevating and uplifting because, you know, people can relate to what you're experiencing and what you went through. You were just trying to get yourself to keep going and keep singing because that's what Brian would have, you know, of course, that's what he would have wanted. He worked so hard to make all this stuff happen.
And I wasn't expecting to hit like it did so quickly. I'm so thankful. I gotta say, everybody who is there, thank you. Just thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm just looking at some of our tracks and trying to analyze time because we have a couple of tracks I really like to get in, and one is Live Like You Were Dying, and the other is the Happy New Year Pop Your Cork remix.
Which is
so
amazing because I got to put in a note here. Right before the show, like I think 20 minutes before the show tonight, I got a really kind of not abrasive, but an email from Miss Pepper Maché saying, "Dawn, I have to be on this album. I worked with Brian, I worked with you for over 12 years, and if I'm not on the film, I'm going to come over there and kick your ass.
Oh, really? Boy,
and
should be a pistol
guest. And we are
going
to do one of our songs that we wrote together. And you're going to sing it. And, you know, she co-wrote the song with me, and she is now on the bus.
Well,
the family is back together outside of Bride.
Well, I know that Happy New Year track is... I'm just saying that the Happy New Year track is 6:34, and I'm not sure how long Live Like You Were Dying is, but we are at 10:44, so we'll need to run. If we're going to run them both, we should start now.
Okay.
If we drop one of them, we can continue to talk for a while. I wanted to let you know.
Well, okay. I don't know. I'm along for the ride. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's go ahead and if we need to fade it, or let's run "Live Like You Were Dying." And it's the Lloyd. Is it pronounced Lloyd Evans Bull Mix?
No, that's abbreviated. Live Like You Were Dying.
Now I get it. Okay, so it's the Evans
Balls 12-inch mix.
Okay, let's run that, Bob. It's the Live Like You Were Dying try.
And this is the nominated for Best Dance Festival, which I'm so thankful for.
Hey, we are going to actually fade this song a little bit early, and we'll run that again on another show, and because I actually think it's a wonderful track. But there is a track that we definitely wanted to get in tonight, and we're running down to the wire, which we often do on this show because we love to talk so much. But it's a track. It's Happy New Year, the Pop Your Cork Club remix. Ernst, would you like to say something about it quickly so we can run it?
Yes, this is a very special track. It was written by me and Pepper Maché, and this was originally done for a really great cause. It was for an album called Carols Across America, and this is for women's breast cancer research and AIDS. And it was
wonderful.
It's for AIDS, people with AIDS who actually need assistance with their medical care. So
wonderful.
We were giving them the money, any money that goes from this goes directly to that.
Wonderful.
So anyways, this is also done by somebody who is going to be on your show with me in the next coming month, I think. My dearest friend, Stephen L. Freeman.
Yes, that will be the end of February, or beginning of February, end of January.
Correct, who is also on the album.
Okay.
Who has a fabulous new remix of The State of the Love out right now, the Just Weed remix, and it has a new track on the new album. But he created this track
wonderful.
With me and Dean and Steve Skinner.
Wonderful. Well, we'll need to start the track now, and because I definitely want to again, Bob, run the Happy New Year Pop Your Cork Club remix. we're going to do a somewhat of an early fade on this one, too, because we are reaching the end of the program. Ernest, I hate it that we talk and talk and talk, but, God, I love talking to you guys.
It was so much fun.
So much.
I loved it, too.
Well, honestly, Katie, you've been a huge hit. And Ernest, as always, it's always a ball to talk to you. Your insights and your stories are always wonderful. You're so very much appreciated. It seems that you know everyone in the music business, and you're willing to share them with us. And we appreciate that very much. And Katie, God bless you.
Bringing them to you.
Oh, thank you so much, and you too.
And thank you for sharing my holiday tribute, Happy New Year. It's currently available on EMG Sony. You can even go right to iTunes right now and get it, as well as The Rose is available at thealtclub.com. So if they want it right now, they can get it.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know we're going to be running The Rose again as one of our featured dance tracks of the night. I know there will be requests for it. It's just too good to hear once.
Oh, that's the sweet of
you. Thank you so much.
And I'm sorry, but I must say goodnight to you guys and both of you. I would love to have you both back again. I know we're going to do someone else later this month in early February, but Katie, we don't want to lose you, okay?
Oh, well, anytime. It was such a pleasure. I had so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I want to wish to all your listeners to have the most happy holiday ever, and may you be so in peace and joy and love.
Yes, and a blessed, elevated, wonderful new year.
Yes.
Thank you. That's
love and life.
And the same to the both of you. You're remarkable guests, and God bless you both. Thank you for being on the show. We'll talk to you both again soon. And folks, that is Katie Agresta, and she is an amazing person, along with Ernest Cole, who is also an amazing person. And as I promised you, when I first mentioned we're going to have a voice coach, we were not going to have any voice coach. We're going to have the voice coach. And, of course, Ernest Cole is in a class by himself. I want to let you know that, it's Wednesday night. Bob and I will be doing a horn section coming up in just a few minutes on the Head On Radio Network. That will start at 11 p.m., and Bob and I will run till 12 p.m. I don't believe John can join us, but we'll kick Huckabee around for a little bit. That always makes us feel better. And again, I also want to remind you that our dear friend Billy Shears is having a special Christmas show this coming weekend. That will be Saturday night at 9 p.m. It is quite special, and we'd like everyone to listen to that. You don't want to miss it. In fact, I'm going to be emailing Katie later, and Ernest, too, for that matter, to ask them to join us if they possibly can on Saturday evening, because I'm sure that's something that they would very much appreciate. And let's see, what else do I have to tell you? Not much, really. Tomorrow night is a Just Us show, unless things change. And Friday night is a Just Us show, but you never know. Things change very quickly around here. And in any case, we like to do the Just Us shows, too, because, goodness, there's so much news to tell you. So I think that wraps up another Strictly Confidential. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. In response to a deranged killer shooting rampage at Virginia Tech, Congress passed legislation today meant to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Both the House and Senate unanimously approved the bill, which toughens background checks for gun ownership. President Bush is expected to sign it into law. President Bush did sign new legislation today that requires more fuel-efficient vehicles and increased use of ethanol. The White House calls the new law a major step toward energy independence. On Capitol Hill, Congress passed legislation strengthening the Freedom of Information Act. Penalties have also been enhanced for agencies violating the Act's provisions. A House panel is challenging the White House over the CIA's secret destruction of interrogation videotapes. The House Intelligence Committee is preparing subpoenas to force CIA officials to tell what they know about when and why the tapes were destroyed and who gave the order. A hearing is set for Friday at which the White House will have a chance to convince a judge to keep courts out of their investigation. In Jacksonville, Florida, city fire officials say three people are dead in an explosion today that rocked a chemical plant, the plant manufacturer's Ecotane, a gasoline additive that reduces tailpipe emissions. Funerals are being held throughout Iraq today for the 20 people killed in three suicide bombings yesterday. In southern Pakistan, rescue workers continuing to investigate